Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate here on Press TV, coming your way live from our studios in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. The Israeli regime has been going on with willful killing of Palestinians under various pretexts. Just recently, it targeted peaceful protests near the so-called buffer zone in Gaza, killing scores of Palestinians, including women and children. A number of countries, among them the UK, have been catering for Israel's military requirements, raising questions whether the record sales of weapons by London recently could make the country accountable as a complicit in the Israeli crimes against the Palestinians. Now, let's put that issue to debate. Let's begin with our correspondent in London, Camilla Shambayati. Let's see what she has for us as an update on the issue. Camilla.
You mentioned the statistics that just emerged paints the UK in a very bad light, and the timing couldn't be worse for the British government. As we know, tensions have been reaching a boiling point along the Gaza fence since March the 30th, which marked the start of a series of protests dubbed the Great March of Return. And tensions reached a climax recently when Israeli forces killed at least 65 Palestinians and wounded more than 2,700 on the eve of the 70th anniversary of Nakba Day. And now that it has come to light that the UK's eighth largest market for British arms companies is Israel, the UK government will now face questions as to whether these UK-made weapons were used by Israelis on the Palestinians. And let's not forget that the figures revealed that the UK's arm exports to Israel included targeting equipment, small arms, ammunition, and sniper rifles, and so forth. And it's these kinds of weapons that were being used by Israeli forces when they opened fire against unarmed Palestinian protesters. And to reduce any doubt of the UK's complicity in the Israeli crimes against the Palestinians, in 2010, the then Foreign Secretary, David Miliband, said Israeli equipment was used in an attack on Gaza as a quote, almost certainly, and it contained British supplied components. And it's also worth mentioning that these statistics emerged just days after Prince William announced his upcoming trip to Israel and Palestine next month. And this has been called a historic visit by Israeli Premier Benjamin Netanyahu, because this will mark the first time a member of the royal family has officially traveled to Israel. And human rights groups have questioned the wisdom of sending another senior royal to a country where the use of lethal force was recently used, and time again, because this would be seen as endorsing the brutality against the Palestinians. And going forward, it's hoped that campaign groups like Campaign Against the Arms Trade, who revealed these figures, and human rights groups alike, want the British government to come forward and to admit if any of their weapons were indeed used. However, what they're worried about is that this won't happen and that British arms exports to Israel will just keep increasing.
All right, thank you for that. That was Camilla Shambayati, our correspondent, joining us from London, updating us on that issue, giving us some more details. Now, let's start a debate. I'm now joined from London by political commentator Adam Gary. We also have from Boston, Frederick Peterson, who's a congressional defense policy advisor. I should thank both gentlemen for joining us here on the debate tonight. Now, the campaign against arms trade, as Camilla, our correspondent in London, said, has revealed record sales by London in 2017, sales of arms and military hardware to Israel. It's worth £221 million worth of arms sold by the UK to Israel last year. This is three times as much as what the UK sold Israel just 2 years ago. Now, the question is, Adam Gary, why is this?
Well, it's because the entire Western world has its priorities absolutely backwards. All countries have interests, all weapons-producing countries sell weapons, and there's always going to be a market for these. So let's not deceive ourselves about this. But when we look about which countries are sanctioned, effectively embargoed, and slandered on a daily basis by those in power in Western capitals, these are the countries that are not making war. North Korea hasn't been at war in any real sense since the armistice of 1953, save a few totally insignificant skirmishes. Iran hasn't invaded anyone in the entire lifetime of the Zionist regime in Tel Aviv. And yet this regime in Tel Aviv has invaded and or occupied all of its neighbors and then some. It's invaded and occupied Lebanon at least twice. It's been at war with Jordan. It's invaded and occupied Egypt. It's illegally bombed Iraq. It continues to illegally occupy Syria. And of course, it continues to illegally occupy and torture Palestine. And yet this regime is given a pass, and regimes who don't invade other countries and don't make threats towards other countries and don't refuse to declare their nuclear weapons or lack thereof, these countries are given a total pass. It's a total inversion of reality. I'm not saying ban the sale of weapons to this country or that country, but if one is going to pretend to be ethical, to sell it to the most violent regime in the world, while then chastising and sanctioning regimes that don't pose a threat to anyone, that frankly is either a sign of deviousness or stupidity. I think it's the former.
Okay, let's bring in Frederick from Peterson from Boston. You, please, let us have your comments. Why is the UK selling arms to Israel when it is almost certain, as Miliband said, that the weapons are being used against Palestinian peaceful protesters?
Well, yes, actually, I do have some agreement with your other guest. Israel happens to be a very violent corner of the world right now. You have a small, very small sliver of land occupied by a people that are vastly outnumbered by very, very hostile neighbors. And there are very industrious people that are seeking to defend and preserve and protect that narrow sliver of land that they have. And they face attack, violent attack, on all borders. You have peaceful environment that is being challenged by provocations from neighbors from the outside, not from the inside. You have innocents that are being very unheroically forced to the front of demonstrations. I'm speaking of women and children, by the cowards behind them that are pushing them to the front in order to become intended victims and then service propaganda needs to create some illusion that Israel is somehow going into and bombing and willfully, hazardously engaged in a policy of aggression, which it is simply not. You have firebombs that are being dropped from upon Israel. You have shellings that are being done from outside their border. And we're talking about all borders, from the Golan Heights down to the south. And you have people, innocents, I'm talking about Palestinian innocents, that are being exploited by their own unheroic cowards behind them, pushing them to the front in the hope that they will become a propaganda headline in a paper or on a news story, and gullible people will gobble up this.
All right, Frederick,
tragedy.
Of course, our correspondents on the ground have talked to people, and that's not the story the way you put them. And Palestinian children, women go there voluntarily, as they are telling Press TV and all other media, going to them and asking them, talking to them, and they say that that's a different story, actually. Now, let's have also Adam Gary's comments on this.
Well, the man on the opposite side of the screen just slandered the victims that millions around the world continue to mourn for, especially during Ramadan, the holy month for Muslims, who are the majority of Palestinians. But beyond this, I'd like to actually propose something more. Rather than just complain and rather than just blame victims for their own death, for their own mutilation at the hand of the most expensively armed regime in the region, I'd like to say this. If the people people on the other side of this wider debate, and the numbers are shrinking, if they were to say no more drones to the regime from Lockheed, no more fighter jets from Boeing, no more missiles of death from Raytheon and BAE, then I'll do you a favor and I will individually lead an embargo against Palestine so that not a single stone and not a single slingshot and not a single tire is sent to Palestine, because tires, stones, and slingshots are the weapons of the Palestinians. Nuclear weapons, F-35 fighters, and the most sophisticated missiles in history are the weapons of the Zionist regime. So while we've just heard someone scandalously and disgustingly blame Palestinians for their own sorrow, for their own starvation, for their own misery, for their own desperation, I propose an embargo. I'll take the stones off the Palestinians if the man on the other side of the screen has his government do to the Zionist regime what it's doing to North Korea and what it's threatening to do to Iran, even though, ironically, Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons. Israel does. Never forget that.
Okay, Frederick, in 2010, the then British Foreign Secretary David Miliband, let's go back to the main story. Well, he said that Israeli equipment used in the 2014 war on Gaza, and I'm quoting him, almost certainly contain British-supplied components. Now, is the UK not complicit in Israeli crimes, you think?
No, I don't think they're complicit in Israeli crimes. And backing up to, we have to define what we're discussing, is self-defense a crime? I would submit that self-defense is not a crime. People who are coming on the borders, and the cowards we're talking about, not the innocent victims, but the cowards behind them that are pushing women and children to the front so that they will be propaganda victims in a propaganda war and provide another line of moral outrage, which is cynically advanced as heroism, is cowardism at its most disgusting, lowest form. These are victims. I can join your other guest in mourning for true victims, but certainly not mourning for exploited victims and the cowards behind them. What about, you were talking about outlawing weapons. Shall we talk about outlawing the drones that are being used to fly over the lines of these people and drop firebombs upon Israel?
Frederick, we're talking about the weapons that are being used against peaceful protesters. 124 Palestinians have been killed with those just recently.
By whom to begin with? Peace is disrupted by whom to begin with?
Just getting your approach to the buffer zone, you know, doesn't mean anything. Is no threat to Israel's security.
It's no threat when you have thousands of people on the border that are threatening violence and actually perpetrating violence with balloons sent over, draining fire on another country. Will your other guest join me in his proposal and expand that proposal so that his Palestinian, quote-unquote Palestinian, friends will join for the first time in a recognition of the right and the existence of an Israeli state? I'll put that question on the table.
Yeah, definitely.
Will
okay.
This be part of the deal? Where the
Adam
legitimacy
Garrett,
of a state is actually recognized?
Sure. Okay, Adam Garrett. Frederick is saying that Israel is not complicit. It's only doing, Netanyahu said we're defending our borders. Let's have your comments on that.
Well, I'm not exactly here to listen to a Netanyahu clone, even though apparently that's what I've subjected myself to most unfortunately. What I will say is that not content with taking away the Palestinians' homes, not content with taking away the Palestinians' limbs, not content with taking away the Palestinians' food and medicine, and not content with taking away Palestinian lives, we have just heard someone who's trying to take away Palestinians' own right to think for themselves. We're not talking about infants or androids. We're talking about men, young men, in some cases very young men, but with minds, minds that have been shaped by decades of oppression from their own birth to the present day, and their fathers and their grandfathers. They are standing on that front line of that artificial prison gate, which is all it is that has made Gaza a living, breathing, open-air prison. And they are using their fists, they are using their voices, they are hurling stones because it is all they have. And apparently, they don't even have the right to determine the actions of their own feet, let alone the actions of their state. As for the actions of their state, I favor something that someone called Nelson Mandela favored, and this is a state with total equality, total genuine democracy, total freedom of all three major religions and all of their sub-branches. It's what George Habash favored, and it was the reality for thousands of years prior to 1948. We can go back to the early 20th century when it was part of the Ottoman Empire, and we had Christians of all denominations, Muslims of all sects, Jews of all sects, living side by side in the same lines of work, in the same geography. It's not as though we have to turn back the clock very far. I have items in my own home that are older than this fictitious regime, and yet the Palestinians don't even have a home to have these items on, but they have their keys, and they are marching with their keys on Nakba Day, and God willing, one day they will return to what was stolen from them.
Okay, Adam, let me put this question to Frederick. Frederick, don't you think we're talking about, let's not get on tangents, we're talking about the focus of attention is the UK's role in all of this, okay? Let's see, don't you think it's a good idea in order to bring transparency to all of this, to launch a probe into this and to see if the British supplied weapons are used by Israeli forces in self-defense or in the crimes against Palestinian protesters?
I think that certainly could be the part of a legitimate probe. We would have to recognize, once again, I think we have had an acknowledgement of the issue that was discussed before, that there is no recognition of legitimacy of the Israeli state. However, yes, I would say that perhaps we can have a probe, not only into what British arms and other arms from around the world are being purchased for the defense of the Israeli state and the Israeli people and peace within that region, but what self-defense weapons, but also who is behind the violence and where is that violence being. The origin and the objective of that violence, what is it? Is it legitimate or is it not? And if we can't even agree upon the definitions of a territorial identity for one of the sides, I think we have the answer to our debate or our question before we even fully phrase the question itself. We need to recognize the status of the parties before we can even engage in any intelligent way as to how the status is going to be resolved or what the real issues are. We have to define our terms before we go forward to the actual meaningful debate and a conclusion. Okay. That will result in peace and prosperity for a region of that debate. Right. Let's define our terms. If we can't even agree upon that, then we are consigned, unfortunately, to war. That serves no one's real ends, but it serves the ends of the defender in order to protect itself. Let's find out who the real defender is and who the real aggressor is.
Okay, let's go to London. Let's ask Adam. Adam, Prince William is scheduled to pay a visit to a number of countries, including Israel, I believe, on the fifth day of his visit. Now, do you think will he raise the issue of excessive use of force against Palestinians during the trip, or he will try and whitewash the Israeli crimes there?
No, it's just going to be another staged, managed event designed to whitewash the public perception of a blood-soaked regime that is becoming increasingly unpopular across lines of nationality and across lines of religion. Statistics show that in the United States, young American Jews are becoming more and more disenfranchised with the regime because they don't feel that it represents them. Across the Muslim world, Muslims are turning against their own cowardly, traitorous leaders who say nothing about Palestine. And in the wider non-Arab world, we have countries like Iran, countries like Turkey, and many more, even into Southeast Asia. We have Malaysia and Indonesia taking a harder line on the issue, even though it's on the other side of the world practically from them. The image of this regime is being tarnished, and the only people who have tarnished it are those in the regime themselves. It isn't rust, though, that it is tarnished with. It's with the blood of children. It's with the torture of people like Ahed Tamimi, who's now languishing in a dungeon. It is the images of men in wheelchairs without legs hurling stones only to be shot in the head. It is the images of men, 15, 16 boys even, who are shot in their chest and in their genitals by laughing snipers whose laughter is captured on video and uploaded to YouTube for everyone to see. The regime's days of being able to get away with its mass murder are coming to a close. Nothing happens in a vacuum in the age of social media.
All right, Adam and Frederick, I should thank you both. We have to stop at this point. We're out of time. I should thank our guest, Adam Garipoglu, commentator, joining us from London. Also, Frederick Peterson, Congressional Defense Policy Advisor from Boston. Thank you both, gentlemen, for joining us here on Debate. And also, I should thank our viewers for watching this edition of Debate that came your way live from Press TV headquarters in Tehran. It's goodbye for me.